All right, man, you're ready to go.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. You'll hear from the best in Canadian U.S. racing this week. Grab a cold one and stick around.
All right, you're good. I got a car in the wall.
The starter tower has signaled. We're ready to roll. It's Race Time Radio and starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Chisholm.
And good evening, one and all, and welcome to Race Time Radio. Sure hope you're ready to spend the next 2 hours right here, live in the Race Time Radio studio. We got a lot coming at you here tonight. It was a good weekend, all in all. A little rainy today, but that's okay. All the races got in, as far as I know. And we've got a bunch of winners coming your way, and we'll tell you about some other results. There's only so much we can do with 2 hours, right? We're going to do our best to jam everything in here tonight. Let me tell you who we got coming on the show. Right off the bat, it was a busy spot out at Oyster Bed Speedway for the Maritime Pro Stock Tour just last night. And it was the 54 of Jared Butcher going to Victory Lane. Jared is going to join us right off the hop. Friday night was spectacular at Delaware Speedway. Nice to see the grandstands just jam-packed. And it was a dynamite night for everyone there. Coming home in Victory Lane for the Super Stocks, the Double Zero. It's Jay Cox going to stop on by the show. It was a good night for the 89C of Sean Chenoweth, but we'll talk about that as we get going. But we will hear from the winner of the race, the 00 of Jay Cox. He's going to join us. It was busy for NASCAR Canada as well. They made their one and only stop at ICAR in Mirabel, Quebec, going to Victory Lane. Not the same 96 that we've been seeing in Victory Lane, not this time around. Alex Gonet took his 39 machine to Victory Lane for his second NASCAR Canada victory, and he is going to stop on by the show tonight. Of course, you'll remember last week we had that race to the million, and it was Aaron Willison picking up all the hardware and winning that series down in the U.S. with his asphalt sprint car. Well, he was touring and driving on his way home, so we couldn't get him last week on the show. We have him here tonight. He is going to stop on by from BC. And, man, what a year it's been so far for Aaron Willison. Lots of W's and definitely the big nut that he wanted to crack. He did it. He did it in Colorado. And he's going to drop on by the show tonight. Looking forward to hearing all about that huge series win. And we'll do that with Aaron Willison. We'll also talk more NASCAR Canada getting ready to go for CTMP just next weekend for the series final stop at our beautiful road course. LP Dumoulin, driver of the 47 WeatherTech Dodge, is going to stop on by. We'll catch up with LP tonight. And how about this? Chase Pensino, driver of the number 14. He was down at Jennerstown on the weekend, south of the border. Kabang. He did it. He not only ran fast time, he won himself the race. So we'll be catching up tonight with another victory for Chase Pensino in that number 14 ride. So that's what we got coming at you tonight. And we're looking forward to getting all these guests on the show. It was just a great weekend, as mentioned. We got to put out a congratulations to Josh Stoddy. He's got a 2026 championship. He did that at Sauble Speedway last night, winning the pro late model portion of their program out there. It was the 81 of Andrew Grizel picking up the victory last night, but the war ended up going to Josh Stoddy. So congratulations to Josh on that. But how about a big win for Jared Butcher out in PEI? Tell you what, this guy has, he's experienced everything this year. The extreme highs and the extreme lows, Jared Butcher has done it all. He is joining us now on the Zoom line. At least I can see his name up there. We should be able to see his mug in mere seconds. And when I do, we'll throw it. There we go. We can see him now. Jerry, congratulations on big win last night in PEI.
Thank you very much. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, good for you, man. Like I say, you've experienced it all this year, the highs, the lows, and nice to see you back on the high swing this time around. How did the night go? Where did you qualify? Where did you get things started?
So we started out front. Just so we weren't crazy fast all day in the way they do their times. That put us in the first heat. And we started on the front row of that, won the heat, and then that put us on the front row for the feature. I think we led about 30 or 40 laps, and then we lost the lead to Tanton on a restart. He had a good car. Tanton and Robbie both got by me, and I ran third for a while. And then Ashton, he had a really good car, so he got by me. I was fourth. I think all night we were about a third, the fourth place car, kind of depending on where you restart it.
Mm-hmm.
PEI is always the outside preferred track on restarts. So if Tanton restarted fourth, he's probably going to get fourth. If I restart fourth, I was probably going to get, or sorry, he's going to get third. If I restart fourth, I was probably going to get third. So, but overall, it wasn't a bad night.
Yeah, that's what you wanted. Yeah, that's really what you needed. I know you guys have been hard at it all season long, and to start getting the wins now, it's got to feel real good.
Yeah, it is. It's been a long season, last year, and, we didn't win a race last year, and didn't look like we were going to do that this year. And, we've had some bad luck. Some of it's been our own, or myself maybe creating, and some of it's just, nothing you can do with IWK, nothing you can do there. Scotia Speed World, we should have been better. Maybe we wouldn't have been back there and got into that issue that we had there. But at the end of the day, we can't change it now. And just keep putting our head down and going to work.
Yeah, and getting the Ws. And that's what I've noticed about you over the years now, Jarrett. You have been that calm, cool, collected driver. I know interviewing you at the IWK 250 when that car went straight into turn one and two. Needless to say, that car is gone, right? Like, that's got to be a big scrap pile somewhere.
Yeah, it's sitting in the back shop right now, and stripped everything off it that we needed to, and it's just sitting there.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. So the car you went to Victory Lane with, is that a tested true machine, or is that a new one in the stable?
No, it's one we've had for a while, but it's our first time ever taking it to Oyster Bed Speedway. So, it was cool to be able to take that there and win the first time there. We still need to get better with it. But it's one we've had for a little bit now, and Cole normally races it when he comes home. So, just keep working on it and, see if we can get another win.
So you've got, what, three races left, I want to say, three or four in the Tour, and then you've got the specials at the end of the year. So you're coming right into your own right now, and that's probably a good time to be peaking.
So we got two Tour races left, Ankeny and Scotia. We got the Mike Stevens race coming up. I really look forward to that race. So, it's kind of, we're out of the points at this point. So, we're not really looking at that part. We're just looking at wins. But we got those three races left around here that we're going to do. And then, we're going to do a flake again this year. And I'd like to do at least one more race before that. Just, it's hard to go down there once a year. And, I've been very fortunate to make the show, but to be able to run good is, it's a big thing down there to do. So,
oh, big time. And then just to show up and jump in and hopefully get the results. And you have been good at that, to get into the show. And you usually come away with the top five finish, sometimes a little bit back, a little bit further back than that. But Jarrett Butcher, you're always one that fans have to keep their eye on when you jump behind the wheel. It would be kind of nice. Is there any other racetrack that would sort of get you prepared to do that snowflake? That's Pensacola is a half mile speedway, right?
Yeah, it's a half mile. I mean, you can do Nashville. It's two completely different tracks, but I mean, with the Pro Late model, it's all about momentum. So Nashville is the same thing. It's all about momentum. So that would be part of it. Just learning the tire again and learning what you got to do. Like I said, they're two different tracks, driving wise and all that stuff. But Pro Late model, you gotta drive it so hard every lap just to keep your momentum up, it's I wouldn't even say it's the same as what you do around here, because you got to use a brake pedal around here. With this Prolate model, you don't really use a brake pedal enough to say use it.
Yeah, amazing. It's always a great event. You're going to, one of these days, you're going to score big at that event. You can see you stacking up, getting better each and every time that you show up at Pensacola. Will you be in a Wilson prepared car this year for that, or are you going to take the 54 you got from here and haul it down?
No, we'll take the car that we raced last night down. I would say we'll take that down, and we'll put a crew. We'll take some of our guys. Some of our guys go down. If they're able to or would like to, and we usually get a couple guys from down there, and we make our crew up, and it's usually a pretty good crew. We've never had a bad crew there. I'll say that they're all good guys, and they're great to work with.
Yeah, and you bring some of your guys with you down south, so it all mixes up real good. That's exciting. Can't wait for all that to come up. But I guess I'm rushing the season. We got to get Riverside done, and then back to Scotia for the 200. Some real good iconic races left.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to all the races coming up. I mean, like I said, I've always loved Riverside. I've been very good there the last couple of years. We've been struggling this year. But that's, I think almost every track I've struggled at this year. Like I said, that's just getting the work done in the shop like I'm supposed to be doing. And, Scotia, we haven't had much luck there, whether it be on-track performance or just in a bad spot at the bad time. So, I look forward to those two races. Like I said, I look forward to the Mike Stevens race. We've been close there before. We had a pretty good car there last year and a couple years prior to that. So, really looking forward to it. One more 250 to finally maybe check one off the box. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And it's cool, too, when Cole comes back up, and he is scheduled to come back up, when the two of you guys are in the same pit, now you get to share a little bit more information. It's probably more Cole leaning on your stuff now as opposed to the opposite way around. Or is it? Is it a pretty even divide when it comes time for the two of you in the same pit?
It's hard to say. I mean, he was away from it for a little bit. So when he first came up the year, maybe a little bit. But, He's a pretty smart guy, and he usually figures it out, and then I'm still asking him questions. I mean, he's involved in it down there way more than I am. So the knowledge that he gets from down there, it's quite a bit more. And like I said, he's doing it as a job now. So whether it be it's on track or off track, he's still getting a lot of experience and knowledge.
Now, do you guys run the same setup in your cars, the 53, the 54? Is it something, Jared, that you guys could just swap seats and it would feel the same, do you think? Or do you guys like totally different race cars?
Hard to say now. When he was around and, when he moved away, I was kind of I took over everything, right? And I ran his setups, and I was very successful with his setups. And things might change a little bit now. I'd say we run a little bit different at Angnish, what he runs versus what I run. But for the most part, it's not. I don't think it's way out of whack. I shouldn't say way out of whack. I don't think it's crazy different. But I think they aren't 100% no.
Yeah. Well, everything changes too, right? And if you sit on your laurels, you're going to end up getting passed. So you guys are constantly changing this game, and it's cool. If you're just tuned into Racetime Radio, we're with Jared Butcher. Went to Victory Lane last night at Oyster Bed Speedway out in PEI. Got the 150. He ended up climbing the mountain and sticking his flag in Victory Lane. Good win for Jarrett Butcher. Jarrett, are we going to see you pop down south and jump into a truck one of these days to say you've done it?
No, probably not. If I was to do the whole down south thing, I would have done it by an hour long ago if I was going to go down there and race full time. It's I've committed to staying in Nova Scotia. I love it here, grew up here, and we have a family business that's the goal to run one day. So, you know, I'll never get to do the truck deal. Like I said, if I wanted to, I would have had to a couple of years ago, and I'm happy with what I'm doing here.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. And that's music to the ears of a lot of Canadian race fans to hear that they can depend on seeing you in a pro late model, in a super late model. And when they head to the racetrack, you always put on a show, kid. Win or lose, you always seem to be one of those guys that's right in there. And by the sounds of it last night, you definitely touched them all. Your next race, when is it up?
So we have weekend off, and then we go to the Mike Stevens race in Petty Speedway.
Okay, so you get a weekend. Oh, and are you going to go do Fredericton? Their big race comes up next weekend. I guess not, if you're not going to be racing next weekend.
No, I'd love to, and I always said, like, I've raced at 250 once, I don't think we finished, but, you know, I'd love to race it, but, it's, you know, long weekend, it's later in the season, guys like to have some, you know, weekend off, because if not, we go like 5 weeks in a row or something like that, so, you know, I'd love to, and some year we will put it on the list. You know, I love the track, I've had pretty good success the last two times there, a third and a first, so, eventually we will go back there and do it, and whether it be next year, year after, I'm not sure. But no, like I said, I do love that track, and it's a good event.
Nothing wrong with that, Jerry. You can't do them all. If you could, you'd be probably doing this full time, yeah. And you're still doing it as somewhat of a hobby, a big hobby, I might add. A lot that takes a lot of time and rightfully so. Man, congratulations on the win. I imagine you still got a couple more in you this year, and I know we'll be checking back in with you before you head to that snowflake down at Pensacola. Lots of races in between. Good luck. Keep it rolling, man.
Thank you, and hopefully we'll talk to you again.
You want to believe it. That's Jarrett Butcher, driver, the 54 car, goes to victory lane just last night in PEI. We are going to step out, take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk Delaware Speedway, and we're going to be doing it with Jay Cox. He went to Victory Lane just on Friday night. We'll talk to him about it. Stay with us. We will be back.
Hey, everybody. I'm Summer, and we'll be right back on Racetime Radio.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Quick Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter, Napa Auto Parts Stores, Port Hawkesbury, New Glasgow, and Andy Ganesh, Nova Scotia.
The NASCAR Canada Series is on Rev TV, Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country, racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Canada Series on Rev TV. Brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Two Speed Motorsports in Hanover. Shop now for Raptor filters, set up wheel plates, roll-off scale stands, tire carts, and more. Proudly made in Canada. For details, get to twospeedmotorsports.com. It's time for over 30 years, Quick Quick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Quick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Quick Fire Starters. No harmful chemicals, and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. Tonight's Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology, and by Rev TV Canada. From two wheels to four and so much more, the race is on Rev TV Canada.
From the high banks of Daytona, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to Joe's.
Hey, shake and bake, Cal. Woo, shake and bake.
And here on Racetime Radio.
And welcome back, one and all, to Racetime Radio, coming to you live from the Racetime Radio studio. Maybe you're tuned in on Tuesday night on Rev TV Canada from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. You can count on Racetime Radio being there on Canada's ultimate motorsports channel, Rev TV Canada. If you haven't got your subscription yet, what are you doing? You're a race fan, aren't you? You need Rev TV. Every cable supplier right across this big, beautiful country has got Rev TV available. You want to pick it up. I was just surfing around the other day, went on Rev TV, and I watched some awesome boat races. Seen these guys. I want to say they were in Italy. Amazing. those boats, I remember back when I had Sauble, Budweiser was a big sponsor of ours at Sauble Beach, and they brought in their big hydroplane boat, and we had it at the Speedway one Saturday night. And, man, you don't really realize, watching it on TV, what it looks like live. To see these boats, they're just amazing. But Rev TV covers it all. You got everything from short track to road course. Of course, all your NASCAR Canada races are all live on Rev TV. Same as ARCA, all of the National Series races, you can get them all on Rev TV Canada. Nobody else is offering what Rev TV does. You want to pick them up today. I was back and forth with Ingrid today, as I always am on a Sunday. Of course, Pedal Power was at Flamborough Speedway again last night, filming all the races, and you can get them all on YouTube. Just get to Pedal Power 51, and you can pick up every single lap that took place at Flamborough Speedway last night. The late models were on the racetrack, and good for the 89 of Sean Chenoweth. He went to victory lane, and I know Sue is rolling the footage of that race. Man, it looked like a real dogfight. The three of Shea Gimel was up in there, and so was the 52 of Sheridan, chomping away at the bit, trying to get up there, but no one was going to top the 89C of Sean Chenoweth on Saturday night at Flamborough Speedway. Of course, goes to victory lane. If you back it up a little bit more and take a look at Friday night, he had that beautiful 89C Kubota car. He had that at Delaware Speedway. He ended up winning the heat, and he ended up finished second in that race to Jay Cox, and Jay is coming up. We'll talk with him in a couple of moments, but I think the 89C of Chenoweth finally has the monkey off his back when you talk about Delaware Speedway. Sean has always been a rocket at, you know, when Sunset was around. You see him at Sauble Speedway or any of the other tracks other than Delaware. He always seemed to struggle with that car at Delaware Speedway. Good to see him on Friday night, finally having a decent run in the 89C car. Was back and forth with Mike Allen, one of his crew guys, and I said, man, that was a good show. He said, we were one adjustment away from winning it. So good on those guys. Keep your eyes peeled on that. Now, any super stocks, if you're not aware, there has been some changing happening at Flamborough Speedway with super stocks. Get to their website, and you can read all about it. By the sounds of it, the final Superstock race for 2026 is going to take place on September the 19th. The car count has been dismal at best at Flamborough Speedway with Superstocks, and Justin Collison has been doing a fantastic job. trying to get everybody together and get them out to the races, but it it's not happening. And the super stocks, consequently, are going to be losing their slot in the lineup by the look of things. So you can read all about it. Check it all out at Flamborough Speedway. Don't like to be the bearer of bad news, but it is news, and we got to sort of cover off everything. But, you know, the Steel City guys have been doing a phenomenal job. Lots of support there, and just the cars don't show up. Whereas you look at Delaware Speedway on the flip side, and on a Friday night, they're getting big car counts, and they're doing a great job at that track, and they are doing a great job at Flamborough, too. They're just not getting the cars out. So you can check that out. You'll see that some moving and shaking is going on with the super stocks at Flamborough Speedway. Check it out. Now, Friday night at Delaware Speedway, what a night. It was the 19 car in the Prolate models. It was the 19 of Connor Perdigo going to Victory Lane. And he started about halfway through the field. And it was a dynamite night for the whole thing. It was rough deal for Ronnie Beauchamp in the 60 car. He ended up coming together with the 14 in the feature, and it sort of shot Ron right up into the fence. He nailed it head on. It looked like he was laboring pretty good on his ribs. The car didn't look too good after. So hard to see that for Ronnie Beauchamp in the 60. But there was a number of real good runs for guys. The 19 goes to Victory Lane. Put it out to Connor. Let's get you on Race Time Radio. And lo and behold, he didn't make it through the Room of Doom. The car was too light. So he ended up getting disqualified. And so that one there, he'll have to take the notes, so to speak. But he's going to have to make a big note and make sure that he puts a little more weight in that race car so that that doesn't happen to him anymore. But needless to say, the 00 car of Jay Cox, he had a real good run. Now, he's been running good in the modified and in the super stock. One other guy that I got to just make a note of that really worked his rear end off all night was the number one super stock. Trevor Culver got into it. First heat, I want to say it was either the first lap or second lap. He was three wide and ended up getting tapped. Up into the fence he went. And anybody that knows Trevor Culver, past champion in those super stocks, that wasn't going to deter him. They cradled his car off. They had the crew at the ready when that car got into the pit, and they went to work, and sure enough, Trevor Culver got back out. It didn't do what he wanted to do, and of course, when you hit like that, lots of stuff gets bent and moved, and you can't just sort of, you know, slap it back together and hope that your car is going to be in the same spot as it was when you started the night. But Trevor, nevertheless, got all the laps completed, and he did a heck of a job for the situation that he was dealt. But we will get Jay on here. He should be up any second now, and we'll bring him on the show. Another little piece of information that I need to tell everybody. We were all hoping to see those asphalt sprint cars at Delaware Speedway coming up. It would have been this coming Friday night, September the 5th, but it's not going to happen. Something happened with the tires or something. Of course, all those guys, other than a couple of Canadians, would have been coming up from south of the border, and it's not going to happen. That release came out just the other day. Again, you can get to Delaware Speedway and read it, but we're not going to see those asphalt sprint cars on this side of the border this year. Hopefully we can get something put together for next year and get those guys out. We were hoping to have Ryan Litt on the show. He was excited to be at Delaware Speedway, and I was really pounding on Aaron Willison to see if we were going to get him here, and it wasn't going to be in the cards for Aaron to make it. So hopefully it can happen next year. That would really be cool if we can get all that put together and see those cars. They put on an amazing show. I guarantee you it would just be one for the ages to see. And anywhere, especially Delaware Speedway, on that half mile, those cars just fly around that racetrack, and it'd be awesome to see them. We just won't be seeing them this time around. They have, I want to say, put in the super stocks in their place. So still a full program at Delaware Speedway. You can count on that, but it won't be those asphalt sprint cars this time around. So we'll have to wait and see how things all shake out. There is a very busy schedule from here to the end at Delaware Speedway. We've got the NASCAR finale coming up. Of course, NASCAR is heading into CTMP next weekend. And then right off that, they come right into Delaware Speedway to top their season at Delaware. And then in behind that, we'll have APC for the championships. And it's just going to be off the hook, along with the Dayco Superstock Series. The champion to be crowned in that as well. You know what? We're going to take this opportunity, take this quick break, and then when we come back, hopefully we've got Jay Cox on here. We'll take this quick break, we'll get it out of the way, and then we'll go full blast all the way to the top of the hour. Stay with us, all live tonight from Racetime Radio. Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Stewart's Equipment, with four locations, two in Erin, Cookstown, and Stainer, featuring Kubota, Turn Faster, Cut Smarter, Power Up for Spring, servicing South Central Ontario since 1955. It's at Stewart's Equipment.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
The NASCAR Canada Series is on Rev TV, Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country, racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Canada Series on Rev TV, brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
It's time for over 30 years, Quick Fire Starters have fueled the sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Fire Starters, no harmful chemicals, and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. There's work and there's fun. Both require the right equipment. Since 1955, Ed Stewart's Equipment has specialized in both, with a full lineup of Kubota, Honda, Still, New Holland, and most selections are in stock, ready to go, with four locations to serve you. Two in Erin, Cookstown, and Stainer. It's Stewart's Equipment. With the right equipment, work can be fun.
Your weekly fix of newsmakers and newsbreakers is found right here.
We call it Racetime Radio.
With your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, one and all, to Racetime Radio. Well, as mentioned, on Friday night, it was Jay Cox going to Victory Lane in his Superstock, the 00. He's had a great season. He's been running the modified and getting some victories there. He did it in his Superstock on Friday night. He joins us on the Zoom line. I can see his name, but I can't see his mug yet. Jay, turn your camera on. We want to see you, kiddo.
Yeah, I'm trying to here. don't do a whole lot of Zoom calls.
Oh, there you go. Well, you did a good job on Friday night behind the wheel of your Superstock. I can tell you that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. Even the kids. It was autograph night for the fans at Delaware Speedway, and Jay had told, heard his post-race interview with Jordan in Victory Lane, and he said, I told my nephews that I was going to win this race. So he said it pretty well had to do it. Well, Jay, you did it. Man, that's your first win of the year, too, isn't it, in the Superstock?
In the Superstock, yeah, first career win.
Oh, first career win. Man, I didn't know that. I thought you had won before. I've been watching every Friday night, and I hadn't seen you in Victory Lane yet. In the Superstock, I did in the Modified. You chip off the old block course. Jamie is your dad, right?
Yes. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So you've blended your way into that seat pretty well, my friend.
Yeah, you know... We're pretty similar, so getting into that thing wasn't too hard for me.
Which one do you like better? Do you like the Modified better than the Superstock, or are you warming up to the Superstock now?
The Modified is a lot of fun to drive. It's got a lot of power. It's a pretty light car, so you know, no fenders. It's a lot of fun to get around.
Yeah, and it fits you. You can tell that it fits you well when you go out there and get the numbers and rack them up like that. That's kind of cool when the plan comes together. How did you get your start in this sport? Did you start out in the mini stock?
I mean, it kind of starts way back. I raced at Grand Bend in micro sprints when I was a kid. Like me, Nick Ramsey, and Ray Morneau, we all raced together when we were younger. And then I was kind of away for a bit. I was just helping my dad. And then, probably 6 years ago now, I ended up buying a bone stock. It was a car that was already on the road. And then, you know, we took it apart, put a roll cage in and all that, and got it ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. And then look at you go now. Safe to say... you're probably going to be one of those full-time guys, right, where you're going to be in it. Now, will you have to pick a class looking into 27, or are you quite comfortable doing both?
We haven't really talked about it yet, but I don't know, definitely both options. We'll see. You know, I do like running both cars, but obviously some nights it's tough to get both there and the logistics of that, but... I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, tough on the crew too, right? Because I don't know whether is it the same crew that crews both cars, or do you have two somewhat different crews for both cars?
No, it's about the same crew. It's my dad, my uncle Johnny, Shay Gemmel helps us. He's my brother-in-law, so we don't have a real big crew, but you know, we work well.
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah, you guys are firing on all cylinders. So what do you got left this year? We still got, three nights left to go at Delaware Speedway. How many nights are you on the schedule, and what are you scheduled to race from here to the end?
I believe we have Superstocks are running every week for the rest of the year, and then there's the championship night and the Modified. And I think that's the only race they overlap, so... Mm. Hopefully we can find a plan to get both cars there, but that's what it's looking like for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Now, there's always the big fall specials. We've got, of course, it's going to be a big one this year at the beach. Then we head off to Frosttoberfest at Flamborough Speedway. And then, of course, everything caps off at Peterborough Speedway with the Autumn Colors Classic weekend. Does that interest you guys? With the success you're having at Delaware, do you think you'll venture out after all is said and done at the half mile?
We've definitely talked about running Flamborough before. You know, I ran there once in the bone stock, and I'd like to get out there in the super stock. I've watched a few races there with the super stocks. Looks like a fun track. So we'll see. Hopefully it works out. Maybe we can get there.
Yeah, that'd be cool just to see you get out and, you know, try on some of those other spots and, you know, work it. I know Jamie was big in a pro late model, too, late in his career. Is that something you aspire to do, Jay, later on?
I don't know about that. You know, that's a pretty big budget you got to get into, and that's a lot of racing. You know, I'm fine just going out racing for fun and having a good time when we can.
Well, and you're doing a good job at it. How long do those tires last that are on your super stock? Do you got to change them up every week, or can you get like a couple weeks, maybe 2-3 races out of them before you got to, you know, change them up? They're wore out and you got to change.
We usually get a few weeks out of them. Obviously, there is a tire rule at Delaware. You only get so many per race, but yeah, we usually run the same set for a few weeks. Obviously, you could have one go and you might have to change it, but you know, every couple races you kind of have to look at them and see.
Yeah, and find out where it's at, right? So we are with, if you're just tuned in to Race Time, you can't see him, but I know he's there, a driver, the 00 Superstock at Delaware Speedway. It's Jay Cox. Went to Victory Lane on Friday night in front of a capacity crowd. The 89C, Chenoweth was right there. And in the closing laps, Jay, there's no doubt he was really coming in on you. Could you feel him back there?
Yeah, I was checking my mirror a few times during the race, and, you know, the gap was pretty consistent. But then, yeah, at the end of there, you started to close a bit, and there's a couple lap cars trying to get around. I know I had to slow down quite a bit to maneuver him, and I knew he was probably right there at that point. But, yeah, I watched it back the other night, and, yeah, it ended up being pretty close at the end.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a good show all in all. You got a lot of great sponsorship on that 00. You better give them a hit. You made them smile, I guarantee it, on Friday night. Make them smile again.
Yeah, a big thank you to Yovu and APC. They've supported all 3 years I've been in the Superstock, so a big thank you to them. Big thank you to McCall Racing Enterprises. We brought their car there a few weeks ago, and they helped us out. You know, big thank you to my dad. He puts a lot of work into the Superstock program. I'm glad we can pull out a win finally.
Yeah, well, good for you, man. Good job. Nice to get that first career Superstock win and try and propel that into more and more. I'm sure you'll be a fixture at Delaware Speedway in definitely the rest of 26, but into 27. We'll get you back on the show a little bit later in the year, and we'll find out what those plans are looking like for 2027. Sound like a plan?
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you for having me on tonight.
You bet. That is Jay Cox. We couldn't see him, but we knew he was there. And, man, did he do a good job on Friday night behind the wheel. As mentioned, that 89C car, that's Stewart's machine. Watch out. You're going to hear lots about that thing from here to the end of the year. You can almost guarantee it. And we heard from Alex last week on the show, right? They've got that bonus back up for the end of the year. If you can win in the Superstock and the Pro, there's an extra $10,000 that will go into the guy that can do both at the season end. It's a pretty big carrot. And you got to know that the 89C coming off the win Saturday night at Flamborough Speedway and having the success that he did on Friday night, he's going to be one of those guys we're all going to have to keep our peepers on, I can guarantee you. Okay, it's time to switch up now. Let's talk NASCAR Canada. It was iCar just yesterday, all live on Rev TV, and it was cool to see that the 39 car went to Victor Lane. Alex Gwinnett, he did it, and second series win, and he's not on there. He was a couple seconds ago. Gwinnett will be up there. I can guarantee it. He'll be coming back. Are you there, Alex? No, he's not. He will be. Oh, maybe he is. Alex, turn your camera on. I'm seeing you.
Oh, unfortunately, I'm on the road, finally, so I'm only on the phone. I can't turn it on for now, but, I can speak on the phone for sure.
I gotcha. Hey, congratulations on the win. That was a big one yesterday, man. There was nobody gonna touch you.
Oh, yeah, we really had a rocket ship there. We pretty much clean swept the weekend. We were the fastest in practice. And then we got the pole position, and then we led every single lap of the race. And, I was looking forward to, kind of having a battle there with the 74 car, Kevin Aqua. And, I knew Andrew Ranger I finished second to him about a decade ago there. So I know these guys are really fast at iCar as well. And, I was kind of looking forward to having a nice battle, kind of like the one I had with Tagliani at the Grand Prix Tour, the 12th year there. But, we can't complain though. We completely dominated the weekend. So it was really awesome. The car was really a rocket ship. A lot of people asked me what I did different or if I changed anything. But, I haven't changed anything, for a long time there. It's just I finally was in a car that could let me, win the race and showcase what I can do. So all credit goes to the team. I just executed.
Well, and you executed perfectly, I might add. iCar is a tough, tight track, right? There is some spots where you really get a chance to let it rip, but it is a tight track. You can get in trouble in a hurry at iCar.
Yeah, for sure. And, they got that chicane where you go. I got a picture of the cars about the front end, probably 2.5 feet off the ground there, so it gets pretty hectic in that chicane. And there's they got rules where if you go four tires over the curb, you're getting penalized drive through. So that was definitely something to watch out during the whole race. Everybody, you kind of want to get greedy and go faster and faster in that chicane, but you really want to lose a lap there. So it was probably one of the things I had to battle with, was not getting too crazy on those chicanes, even though I feel like I probably made a lot of my speed that I had this weekend was in that particular section. I was really on the edge. I developed a special way to hit that chicane where I kind of trail brake it, and a lot of things going on in the car, especially with my feet during that, in that section, feet and hands there. But it was a really good weekend. And like you said, it's a tricky track. I've been, it's kind of my home track. So and my team is based out of there also. So we actually only tested twice there this year, but it really feels like my home track there. I had hundreds of people out there that were there to support me. So it's really awesome to finally get this win this year. I feel like we were really close at the Calabogie. We dominated practice. We were like half a second quicker in practice. And then qualifying was rained out, so we ended up starting further back and having to dig. So we still ended up second, but I feel like three or four more laps, we would have won that race. But really happy to get a win here this year.
With Alex Gwinnett on the Zoom line, Alex goes to Victory Lane just yesterday at iCar in NASCAR Canada. Alex, what's this do now to the mindset, to the team, the momentum, the wave of momentum heading now into CGMP next weekend, another huge weekend? Does that affect the way you target this race? I guess it's just the same old, right? Just get out there and do it.
Yeah, for sure. But, the mindset kind of changed after the beginning. We were looking to run the whole championship and try to get a run at it. But, fortunately, we had a lot of bad luck at the beginning of the year. We got a flat tire, DNF, and then we broke a gas pedal, DNF, and then a weird incident on the restart at Montmagny there that cost us the race there, wrecked us on the start. So we kind of started the year with 3 DNFs, so kind of kissed that championship away goodbye. And the 96 has been running really solid all year, so he kind of looked like I did at iCar, but he's been looking like that for most of the races this year, untouchable. So we knew we weren't going to win that championship, so we skipped the Edmonton swing out there, saved some costs, really expensive for us to go out there. So knowing that we weren't, we probably could have finished top three in the championship, but we were really out there trying to win the championship. So I would say to answer your question, the mindset changed a lot more at that moment than now. I mean, now we're just kind of we've been, you know, we finished second, third, fifth, and now first. So we're kind of on a roll here. But so mindset definitely, definitely looking for another win at the next weekend. But the biggest shift this year was really at, after we kind of decided not to go for that championship. It's, you kind of can risk.
I hear ya.
Racetrack, you know, you're a little, you can take a lot more risk and be more aggressive. So mindset change happened a couple races ago.
Yeah, and it would have. Good thing that you guys don't have a one tire rule. that you really did you did the best burnout I think I've seen in NASCAR Canada yesterday after winning at ICAR. You didn't have any tires left. I think even the front tires blew on that.
Oh yeah, no, it was definitely. I've been telling the guys, you know, the series asked, you know, been saying, you know, you guys come on, show emotion when you're in a race. I know some guys are having trouble doing some donuts, so I told the guys, don't worry, when I get that win, I promise you, you're gonna see donuts for. So it was really cool, and we had thousands of people I know out there, so it was really cool to have all my people and a bunch of fans that know me out there. So I really wanted to put a good show. I know the race was, you know, it was fun for me because I dominated the whole race and won by, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds. But, you know, I still wanted to give them a good show. So we, I went kind of crazy there with those donuts and that burnout. The car in the, both tires blew out and, yeah, we're going to have some work on it, but the guys, I'm sure they're, you don't mind putting a bit more work in it than having a good celebration like that.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. They'll take that any day of the week, I can guarantee it. We're with Alex Gonnett, goes to Victory Lane, ICAR road course. He did it convincingly just yesterday and now setting his sights on CTMP. What day do you roll in? And I take it you'll be shooting for the pole. How's your numbers been at CTMP? Alex, you've been right up there, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the track I enjoy going at the most. It's a lot of fun. It's a fast track. I feel like we haven't had the results that we wanted there. You know, it's a track where, if you don't, first of all, if you don't have a good motor, you can forget about it. I've ran there so many times and lost 5-6 car lengths in the straightaway. I mean, you can kiss that track away goodbye if you don't have a good motor in there. And, a lot of aero stuff also with the years, you know, it's a track where you really have to have your car dialed in. Even if you're trying to do miracles out there, you're not going to win the race if you're not in a fast car. So like most tracks, but I feel like some tracks driving wise, you can make a bigger difference. And sometimes you can do miracles. Like I called it at the end of the race, even though you have a third or fourth place car, you can try to battle for the win, but CTMP, man, you really, really have to have a good motor and a good car. So, I feel like we've had decent runs there. I think I finished fourth. I did finish fourth at the beginning of the year, so solid result. But getting that pole, I don't think we've ever finished on the podium there. So I think we finished fourth a couple of times. Had a really good run in the truck series about a decade ago. The first year they came out here, we were in Mario Gosselin's truck, and we ran. We were running, I think, seventh or eighth at the end of the race before we blew the motor. So we were having a solid race. I am looking to get in a truck at next year's race now that they announced it. We're definitely going to be out there. I don't know exactly what team. I am speaking with a couple of guys, and we're trying to get in. I'm not just trying to do it. I'm trying to do it in a really good truck where I can win it. But, we'll start by winning this weekend. I really feel like we're doing some good progress. You know, it's a new team. Our crew chief, Jonathan Cote, is second year in the Pinty series. You know, it's first full season that we didn't end up doing the full season, but so he's still learning a lot, and we're still learning to work together. But we're making some really good progress, and I'm excited for CTMP. I think we could really get that podium finish now, riding the wave of the last couple races and all the podiums we've been doing recently.
Oh yeah. I guarantee you're going to be right up there. The 96. The 80 car, of course, Alex Tagliani, and we got LP Dumoulin coming up. He's been having a multiple second place finishes. He's going to be a threat to win here. You got to know that, you know, the 17 car is eventually going to pull out a top five win or a top five race at some point. We got lots to look forward to at CTMP. Will you be at Delaware for the season finale? You like your oval track running too.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's not looking like we're going to head out there. Just kind of want to regroup with the oval program and do some work on it. We haven't had quite the speed we were looking for. You know, we've had some good speed, top three, four, second, but you know, when you get out there, especially this year with the 96, feel like, you know, if you really have to be on it, if you even want a shot at winning the race. And I feel like no one's really had a shot at winning a race this year, really, most of the races with the 96. So it's, we really have to kind of regroup. And I think a lot of guys too are in that same mindset. We got to find some more speed to try to compete with a car that seems unbeatable. But, we did it this weekend. You know, we put on a clinic. So I think we're definitely, finding a lot of stuff, but we still have ways to go, especially on our oval program. So I don't think we're going to be heading out there. I mean, if we'll see, I don't think we will, but maybe if we win CTMP and go back to back, we won't have a choice to kind of pull something together and try to go out there. But I miss oval racing. Hopefully I can maybe go out in the States, this winter and maybe run some super late model, pro late model, something like, a New Smyrna. I really enjoy spending time in Florida, and New Smyrna is kind of, it used to be my home track for a while, as I've done the speed week twice there. So most of my oval starts were at the track I've been the most at, I think, is probably New Smyrna. So it's, hopefully I can go out there this winter and turn some oval racing, but maybe we'll go to Delaware, but I wouldn't hold my breath for that one.
Okay. We will just hold you to it at CTMP. Final question for you. We see you in O'Reilly Auto Parts Series down south. Every now and then, are we going to see you at all between now and the end of the year down on the south side of things?
We never know, but I don't think so. You know, sometimes I get opportunities, I get a phone call, and I can put something together and go out there. But to be honest, the opportunities I've been getting, I appreciate them. I'm grateful for them, but I've done my fair share of going out there and just kind of surviving the race and being in cars where it's you're not looking for a top 10, top 15, you're looking for a top 30, top 25. It's kind of tough when you know you can run out there and go in the front. It's cool because you get to experience really cool tracks and be with a good caliber of drivers. But at the same time, I've kind of done my share of that. And I kind of weekend, you know, it's not to take anything away from it. Extremely competitive, and these guys race really hard. And even a top 25 nowadays in the O'Reilly Series is something to you got to work hard for. But I kind of want to, if I go back out there, I really want to try to be in a top 10 car or top 15, you know, car that's giving me an opportunity to showcase what I can do. So kind of what I'm looking to do at the CTMP. You know, I'm speaking with a couple of guys, and I really want to get it in a good truck there. It's something I want to do is really get a top 10 or a top 5 finish in the trucks or in the O'Reilly Series next time I'm out there.
Well, and they would be any of those truck owners down south. They should have a look at Alex Gannett. You are the real deal, and cool to see you behind the wheel. Look forward to seeing you at CTMP next weekend, kiddo. It's going to be a big one.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. And hopefully I'll give you a call back next week after another week, another win there.
That's Alex Gannett right there. Went to Victory Lane. Let's see if he can do it at CTMP. Alex, have a good one. Be safe.
Thanks. Thank you. Alex, thank you for having me on.
Alex Gannett right there, dynamite guy. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to the west coast of Canada. We're going to grab that Aaron Willison, talk to him about the race for the millions that he ended up winning just a week ago. We'll be back. Stay with us. Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Leaf Racewear. Fuel your passion and confidence at leafracewear.com. We're an essential part of any team.
The IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship is on Rev TV. Catch all the action live with full race coverage of the high-stakes action that North America's leading sports car series delivers. Four classes, world-renowned drivers, and leading manufacturers putting it live to be champions. IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, right here on Rev TV.
It's time for over 30 years, Quick Wick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Wick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Wick Fire Starters, no harmful chemicals, and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Wick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter.
The NASCAR Canada Series is on Rev TV, Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country, racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Canada Series on Rev TV, brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
There's work and there's fun. Both require the right equipment. Since 1955, Ed Stewart's Equipment has specialized in both, with a full lineup of Kubota, Honda, Still, New Holland, and most selections are in stock, ready to go, with 4 locations to serve you, 2 in Erin, Cookstown, and Stainer. It's Stewart's Equipment. With the right equipment, work can be fun.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Quick Wick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter, Napa Auto Parts Stores, Port Hawkesbury, New Glasgow, and Andy Ganesh, Nova Scotia.
Of newsmakers and newsbreakers is found right here.
We call it Race Time Radio.
With your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, one and all, to Race Time Radio. Well, our next guest, man, did he do something this year. Not only has he got a pile of big wins in his asphalt sprint car out of BC, not only has he got a pile of wins, but he also did the race for the millions, and held that big Canadian flag up behind him on that victory lane celebration stage. And Aaron Willison, he did it. And he joins us now on the Zoom line. Aaron, what a weekend for you last weekend. Incredible, man.
Yeah, talk about a dream come true. It was absolutely awesome. So 4 race series, high stakes. You got to perform every time you're on track. And we're able to come out of it with 50% of the wins, 2 out of 4 for the points-paying races. And, man, I couldn't be happier. Just a great group of people behind me, everyone that contributed to this car and this project and going racing this year, and my family that's supported me all along the way. It's like I said, a dream season. I don't know what to do next.
Well, I know what you're going to do next, and that's continue to win. That's about all you guys know how to do is go out there and put your best foot forward every single time you strap in. And it's just amazing to see. Aaron, put us into the mindset, looking at not only the biggest paying races, probably in all of racing in Canada. Well, this didn't happen in Canada, but definitely in sprint car racing. This year was a cut above. How, like mindset-wise, how do you mentally prepare for that?
Well, at the end of the day, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And Dick Fiedler came out with the series, the Race for the Million. There was going to be big payout, big points purse. And it was all in our hands to capitalize. So our job was to be prepared, show up prepared, bring a good race car to the track, and execute when we get there. And the rest kind of is in fate's hands after that. We did that. We spent all winter, worked really hard, had a great group of people around me to help build this car, and we unloaded with a fantastic race car, and we were well prepared, had no mechanical issues, and we were there to capitalize on what could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with a series like this.
How many more races do you got to go in BC with the Northern Sprint Tour? Do you got many more before the championship is done, or is that over too?
That is over as well. So we wrapped up the Northwest Sprint Tour Championship in the middle of August at the Neil Montgomery Memorial Saratoga Speedway. So we were able to, fortunate enough to win the Neil Montgomery Memorial overall trophy for the weekend, $10,000 bonus there. And we were able to wrap up the Northwest Sprint Tour Championship all in one weekend. And then after that, we actually headed south Sunday night to get down to Denver, Colorado for the last race for the Million.
Isn't that, that is just amazing to hear all the successes that you've had. We've still got Vegas to come. We've still got some big ones still to come. It's not, put the race cars away for the season yet for you.
No, it is not. So we're full preparation right now. We're building spares, prepping stuff. We're working on motor programs, driveline programs, making sure all our stuff's fresh, getting ready to go down to Las Vegas, like you say, in November for 50,000 for the Open Wheel Showdown. So we're really looking forward to that. It's going to be the fourth edition of that race. They've added non-wing sprint cars this year, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger down there. And it's off season for the whole rest of the country. So everyone's there, the East Coast guys, the Northern guys, the Florida guys, the Central USA guys, absolutely everyone makes a pilgrimage to Vegas in November. So we're really looking forward to that. But prior to that, 2 weeks from now, we got a few races out in Idaho area. So we're going to head down to Emmett, Idaho to race at Motorplex at the Mill, and run a few races, including the Pink Lady Classics, which is a $15,000 to win deal at Meridian Speedway and just outside of Boise. So we love going down there. Great people down there. Awesome race. A little quarter mile. You got to get your elbows up and race crap out of each other. So it's fun.
That's your kind of race. That's what you love to do.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So quarter mile racing. It's a great time. So these cars are awesome. And that's what we're preparing for next. We're building lots of spares, building Nerf bars, building all that stuff, making sure we got all our ducks in a row there. And we're going to head down to Meridian Speedway and go try and take home that Pink Lady Classic win again.
Yeah, and you've done that in the past as well. So it's like a repeat thing that you get down there. Aaron, you got to have the biggest target on your back. And fans got to realize this too. You don't show up and you build everything, including the chassis of the race car. And you do it all from right from that pile of steel over there on the floor to victory lane. And there isn't many guys that do that like that anymore.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's something I pride myself a lot on. And I'm not really interested in going to a race and having the same equipment as everyone else and have a good sporting competition. That's not my jam. I'd rather work hard in the shop and bring a different mousetrap and try and out engineer the next guy and out evolve. And like it's constantly, the goalposts are constantly moving and you're always coming up with new ideas and better ways to solve a problem and better ways to bring a fast race car to the track.
Now, does your phone go nuts after you do what you do? Is there sprint car guys that, hey, I'm going to call Willis and I want one of his chassis? Does that happen?
Yeah, I've had lots of people requesting to have a chassis built, and currently they're not for sale. I'm not really interested in racing against my own technology, so I take a lot of pride in what I've built, and I'm really, really, really proud of it and the product we put out on track. So I do a lot of consulting for people, and I'll build shocks and do fab and repair work, but I'm not to the point where I'm going to build any scratch-build chassis for customers yet. So maybe when I'm... There'll be a day when I'm too old and too stupid to drive a car that I'll do customer cars, but that's not today.
Yeah, no, you want to keep doing what you do, and that's just too cool. It's great having you on the show, and you're always so generous with your time for us on Race Time. We really can't thank you enough for doing all of that.
Thank you. We love being a part of the show. Love supporting Canadian racing.
Well, what do you do now for next year? Was there any talk down there that, maybe the Race for the Million is going to come back?
Yes, that's exactly the talk. So Dick, the promoter of the series and the owner of the series, announced at the Colorado race that Race for the Million is going to go for a second year. So they're working right now on finalizing tracks, and it's going to be the same format, same point structure, four races, four tracks. So they're working on a schedule right now, working out what tracks it's going to be at. I think a lot of it will be the same, but they're working really hard on getting a West Coast date. So we're excited to see where that'll land and get these cars all the way out to the west coast of the country and put on some great racing out here as well. Because we got a lot of fantastic cars out west, and it'd be great to showcase, other than myself and Jeff Montgomery, it'd be great to showcase what we got going on out here.
Well, we can't say stuff too loud, you know, because Trump will figure a way out how to tariff you out of the country. He's done that with everything. But he hates seeing Canadians do well, and you do real good.
Yeah, we're at the end of the day, I try not to get too political and stuff like that, and we run back and forth across the border, and we're all great neighbors, and we enjoy going sprint car racing, and anywhere that wants to have pavement sprint car racing, we're happy to be there, and we're happy to interact with the fans and happy to be around the people. And like the past weekend there, last weekend at Colorado National Speedway, the people at that track are absolutely second to none. The place is packed and the pit area is packed. Like, there is nothing like it in North America to what Colorado National Speedway has. It is a true gem.
Oh, I hear every word you're saying. And for you to go down there and fit right in. That's the thing about racing. Racing doesn't know that there's a border. We're all part of this big family. It's just when someone from outside that circle wants to screw it all up on us, it gets under my skin. I know that. But incredible to say the least on what you're able to do. Will you change chassis for next year? Or do you like the mousetrap?
Oh, I like the current mousetrap. There's a couple little small things, you know. As soon as you're done one project, there's always a couple little things you want to change or revise and think you can do better. So there's going to be a couple small revisions, but much the same. Like I said, we're really happy with the product we put forward, and we're just focusing right now on prepping our equipment for Las Vegas and getting down there and finishing the year out strong.
Well, Vegas, again, one that you've won a couple of times now. What will it be like this year? Do you think that it's going to be a faster time this year to take the pole?
Well, it's a mystery right now. The track has undergone a complete repave, and there's a lot of contradictory rumors out there about the banking's been reprofiled. The banking hasn't been reprofiled. They've made it progressive. They haven't made it progressive. And what the service will actually be like. And we are going to be the first major event to run on that track. So it's just sitting right now and curing. But it's tough without actually physically being in Vegas and walking around the place to know what the track surface is going to be like and what the banking profile is going to be like. Because it is a very unique track in itself. It's kind of got long straightaways and it's pretty fast. So I'm curious to see what we get when we get down there. And I'm basically going to unload in Vegas with two programs in my back pocket, one on where the track was originally and one on where I believe the track is going to land. And it's going to be a game of who can adapt the fastest and who can be the most productive through the practice day and bring the best car into the race day.
I know the answer to that question. You, my friend, if there's anybody that can figure it out in a hurry, it's Aaron Willison. You proved that more times than enough. Now, Montgomery, he's going, and he tends to set fast time. If Jeff can ever get that car to stay under him for a full race, you're in trouble, man.
Yeah, no, Jeff and the Rob Layton Racing team have been doing a great job, and they got a ton of speed in that car. They're able to get out and set quick time every night, and they're getting better at piecing that long run together. So they will be a force to be reckoned with down there, and I believe they sat on pole the last 2 years in a row. So a lot of speed there, and that's part of it, though. And the format itself, you have to qualify well. That positions you good in a heat race. You have to have a good short run to get through the heat race to get you into the pole dash. And then after that, it's just blind luck on drawing a card on where you're going to start that dash. So that's a big part of the game. So we're looking to go down there, put a good qualifying effort out, put a good heat race out, and get ourselves into that dash and locked into the feature. And after that, go racing.
Well, it's a bummer that we're not going to be able to see the asphalt sprint cars at Delaware Speedway next weekend. Yeah. That race got scrubbed. They must have heard that you couldn't make it, so they just said, that's it, forget it.
Yeah, logistically, it was a tough one. We're doing our best to try and put the pieces together, but just equipment's heading in different directions, and you get towards the end of the season here, and what's going on in the Midwest starts to wrap up, and the focus turns to down south, and out west with Vegas and stuff like that. So it's a tough one, but we'll, I'm sure the must-see promoters and all the people around at Delaware are going to continue to work together and see what we can make happen in the future.
Yeah, that would be cool. Hey, especially if you had some distance, a little bit of a launch pad to be able to make it to that event, that would be super cool. Hey, from all of us here in Canada, congratulations on the success that you've been having. And it's not over yet. We got more to look forward to. It might be a good idea to take a trip to Vegas. I know Sue really wants to go to Vegas. It would be kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And I really appreciate all the support and the love from all across Canada. And I'm just so proud to get out and represent our country and represent the West Coast of Canada and the Northwest Sprint Tour and everything we got going on here and take that to a national level and show people from all across North America and in every different area that we got real racers and real race cars up in the Northwest and we're here to do battle. So it's been a pleasure and I'm really enjoying it.
Well, we couldn't ask for better representation with you and Montgomery and all those guys that head out there and do what you guys do. Just amazing to see, Aaron. And I know this isn't your last time on Race Time this year. I can see you coming back with the Pink Lady and a whole pile of other race wins. But we'll cap it at, sponsorship. Who are you going to have on the car next time out?
We got a lot of great people. Statham Construction, Dutton Safer Systems worked really tight with me all summer long through the Race for the Million. And we got a few new ones. Circle C Excavating is going to come on board when we're down in Meridian there. Chad's a great guy based out of the Boise area. And me and him have worked together a few times now. So we're looking forward to working with him and working with BR Motorsports. Blake out there is a really, really awesome guy in California. So getting a lot of parts through him right now. He's getting my ignition fixed up and all that stuff tuned up and ready to go for Vegas. So a lot of great partners on the car. We're excited to get out there.
We'll all be with you. Put a little bit more space inside that sprint car. Canada's going to be in there with you, kiddo. Congratulations. And thanks so much for the time on Race Time. We genuinely appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the support. And about 2.5 weeks from now, check out the Pink Lady Classic at Meridian Speedway. It'll be on Flow Racing. After that, we'll be in Las Vegas for Open Wheel Showdown in November.
Ooh, I got goosebumps. Can't wait. Can't wait. Aaron, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good evening, everybody.
Aaron Willison right there does an amazing job behind the wheel of his sprint car. Brings Canada along. You can't find a more proud Canadian racer than that guy right there. And he does so well on those racetracks. He just does a fantastic job. We're going to hit another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk CTMP with LP Dumoulin, driver of the 47 WeatherTech Dodge. Stay with us. We will be back.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology.
Tonight's Race Time Radio is brought to you by Two Speed Motorsports in Hanover. Shop now for Raptor filters, set up wheel plates, roll-off scale stands, tire carts, and more. Proudly made in Canada. For details, get to twospeedmotorsports.com. Since 1955, Ed Stewart's Kubota in Erin has provided top-of-the-line equipment, featuring a full line of Kubota tractors and attachments. Let our knowledgeable veteran sales team match you up with the right product, complete with full parts and service for 70 years. Stewart's not only gets you going, but keeps you going. Stewart's Equipment. Get the job done. It's time. For over 30 years, Quick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Fire Starters. No harmful chemicals and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
The NASCAR Canada Series is on Rev TV, Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country, racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Canada Series on Rev TV. Brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, one and all, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Hope you're enjoying the show. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button on YouTube if you don't mind. We genuinely appreciate it. And Wayne Bratton, always faithful listener of Racetime Radio. Wayne, I hope you're doing well. Haven't heard from you in a bit, so I know you're going through some health stuff there. Hopefully you got that all sorted out. You're feeling better. And I know listening to these guys talk from across the country makes Wayne feel a whole lot better. He's an absolute race fan crazy, and he enjoys Racetime Radio each and every week, as Chip Shunman does. I know Chipper's tuned in, and so many faithful viewers of Racetime Radio and listeners, too, over on the Performance Motorsport Network.com. Steele and his guys down south hooking us all up and getting us on the air. And 98.9 XFM in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, runs Racetime Weekly. And same thing with Gearhead Country Radio. Ian, thanks for all you do to get our message out there amongst the race fans in all different ways. And if you ever miss the show, don't forget, we're available on iTunes, on Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts, you can get Racetime Radio. And then, of course, every Tuesday night on Rev TV Canada from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern, right there, you can count on Rev TV to have Racetime. And you never know, we could have some changes coming down the line. We're working on some stuff. We'll announce it in due time if everything can be lined up. We got some big news to share as we get a little further down the line. But I digress. It was a busy weekend. Hey, want to thank Corey McAllister, or not thank him, congratulate him is what I meant to say. Corey McAllister went to Victory Lane in his hot rod last night at the beach. So did Andrew Gurzel. And the 17 car, Josh Stoddy, ended up winning the championship in the Pro Late Model class at the beach. Good deal. Good deal. We'll have Josh on next week. We can talk to him about the championship, and we'll also pick his brain about that season finale in the APC series. Of course, he is the defending champion of the APC series, so he'd be a good guy to talk to about that season finale that's coming up at Delaware Speedway at the end of September. It's going to be that's going to be a barn burner. I'll tell you what, everybody's going to want to be at Delaware. The next, every weekend from now until the end of September, they've got huge events all the way through. It's going to be just awesome to see all the way through. Now, next weekend, CTMP, this is going to be their big season finale for NASCAR Canada. It'll be the last time NASCAR Canada's in there this year, and it's going to be huge. I'm hearing the car count is going to be the biggest car count NASCAR Canada has ever had at CTMP next weekend. I'm hearing car counts in the 40s, believe it or not. We'll see if it all comes true, but that's what I'm hearing. And there's so many good teams right now that are chomping at the bit. Just look, LP Dumoulin in that 47 car, he has had some really good consistent finishes without hitting victory lane. And you got to know that CTMP is one of those racetracks that 47 car can light the lamp and get the job done. He has just been chomping at the bit. And right there, just couldn't solve the 96 car just yet. But stay tuned. LP Dumoulin just could be the guy that we'll be talking to next week on the show with the big win at CTMP. If the stars all align, this guy can definitely get the job done. And I look and presto, we've got him on the Zoom line. Good guy to talk to you right now. Let's welcome him in. LP Dumoulin, driver of the 47 for WeatherTech. What's going on tonight there, LP? How are you?
Things are great. What about you guys?
Doing fantastic. Not a bad run for you at iCar.
It was all right. I mean, we had more than that in the car. I think we had a car for a podium again, probably top five for sure. That WeatherTech 47 Omnifab Belmar Duffer-Alex car was fast. I mean, in quality there, I think we could have gone a little deeper in the front stretch there. It seems like there's a couple tricks around iCar for qualification, but we were happy with that P5 in quality. And we were kind of cruising behind Camira and Tagliani for about 20-25 laps. And then we had a restart starting outside. And then in corner three, I think we got involved with some contact there. And the car, we had a fender and some part of the car that was rubbing really hard on the tire. And it took a couple laps to really burn that hard down or whatever, and then we found our speed back, and then we were really fast towards the end of the race and fought it back to P7, which is all right. But you know, we wanted to be on a podium. We needed that as well for the championship to keep some hope. But hey, we've done it. We've won a championship 3 times before, and we know how it works and what it takes. And I'm a very optimistic person in my life usually in all I'm doing, but I'm a really realistic person as well. You know, like it's good to be emotional, but you got to be rational. And the points there that the 96 have is tremendous. Like it's just, so yeah, we can keep counting. We can keep thinking that it's gonna, we can maybe do something, but I'm more focused on that. We're the whole team is more focused on winning races and then finding more speed and fighting up front. And that's where we're having fun, you know, like it's when you can fight up front. So that's what we're focusing on. And yeah, the P2 in the championship is a good fight with the 74 and then the owner championship with the 80 as well. So that keeps us alive and some entertainment for the fans as well. So yeah, no, it's okay. But we have to be honest. That's a long shot for the 96 and us. Like, it's just, it's something else.
Yeah, well, and look, if the 96 car had a normal year, he's not having a normal year. Like, he is really, really laying it down. He's doing a great job, not to take anything from Mark Antoine.
No, that's fine.
He's doing good. But if
no
he had
expensive blood.
I got to turn that down. There we go.
That's fine.
If he was having what we call a normal year, man, the championship hunt would be like would be so tight right now.
Yeah, well, that's what I was talking the other day with someone else. It's just like, you know, like you've got those up and down usually in a championship, just like us in the 74 and then the 17 and then everybody else in there. That, you know, like. Usually you have some up and down, but that guy seems to have like one after the other really good results. Hey, you know what? I don't know what's next for those guys. They probably should move up to Xfinity, not Xfinity, but O'Reilly, whatever. But they're for sure they're really strong. They have a big, very strong program, and everybody knows that Mark is a good driver as well. But it takes everything. Like it's you know, I was telling my kids the other day, like they're go-karting now. And that's the thing in our sport is like, you really need the good material. You need the good machine. You need the budget. You need everything. So, and then you need the luck. You need to put everything back together to make it work. So yeah, I mean, good for them. For us, we just keep digging, do our own stuff, and we're very proud of that WeatherTech 47 program. And that's it. We're aiming for the win there at CTMP next weekend.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing too. CTMP is a place, LP, that you have had very good success. You're either on the podium in the center or very, very close. You've done a good job at CTMP. What is it about that racetrack in that 47? Because you can really do it there.
Well, yeah, I don't want to jinx myself on that. But, yeah, we did good in the past there. And I don't know. I just love that track. I love the area. I don't know. There's something about it that I feel great when I go there. I know we can really go fast. And I love those type of tracks that we lean. We keep the speed in the corners. We you know, we're doing slides at very high speed. Like, those cars are moving around a lot. I think we have a lot of room to race each other as well around that track. The whole venue is great. I've been, you know, I was there when I was, you know, I was like Mont Tremblant in Quebec. Well, for me, Tremblant and Mont-Sport are my two tracks that I've been there since I was like born, you know, like my dad was racing there back then. And so I just go there and I feel like home, you know, and it's, the people that takes care of the track. Yeah. The run and everybody, they sold the track, but I mean, it's just, everybody's just taking very good care of me new there, and it's amazing. I love it. It's a fun show, and there's a lot of fans coming over there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like those type of tracks, like, remind me like Watkins Land or Road America or those type of tracks, that there's a lot of people camping around the track and having fun at night and shows and fires, and you know, like it's cool. I like that a lot.
Well, and it's come a long way. I think back to 2010 when I first started covering the series, and I went to CTMP for my first time ever being there, and I couldn't believe, when you look at the fandom that shows up there today, and look, there is no even comparing it. Everything has grown so well in NASCAR Canada, and it's all because of the shows you guys put on there.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a big deal, you know. Like we have a lot of cars every time we go to the CTMP. We have the pit stop strategy that I like a lot. I hope we could have more of those strategy and more pit stop in this series, a bit more like it was back in the CASCAR days. I mean, I personally know some people they think that the race are a little longer, but the diehard guys that, you know, the NASCAR fans and the NASCAR people that love those type of racing, we want to have strategy. We want to have those pit stops so we can tweak the car, make it better. And then, you know, towards the end, we still give a very good show and we have a better car for some people. Like, you can start the race sometime and you're like, oh, that's going to be a long day, but you can have the pit stop and then make it better. So now it's a great track for that. And I'm very excited to be there. And it's going to be the WeatherTech 200. So that's going to be really cool. I need to win that one.
Oh, dang, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No pressure, LP. No pressure like that.
No pressure. Oh, I always put a lot of pressure on myself. So, yeah, but we've been working hard at it. We had a couple good races this season that we were very close to it. And we had some good speed. So, yeah, we won that big W back home for sure.
We're with LP Doolin, driver of the 47 WeatherTech Dodge. He's getting ready for CTMP coming up this coming weekend. LP, do you guys get enough practice there at CTMP to head into the big event? You guys will get there. When do you roll in? Do you come in on Friday or do you get there even before then?
Well, we roll in on Friday. We bring the haulers on Friday, but we only have 15-minute practice on the Saturday. Then we go to quali in the afternoon. The quali, we usually do only two laps, maybe three, but it's if you have to do three laps because you're already in trouble, you know. And then we go to the race. So myself, the front runners, I mean, I think it's basically it's okay to have only 15-minute of practice, but I spoke with the series before, and For some guys, it would be great to have more practice. I'll be honest with you. Like, if we could have another 50 minutes on the Friday afternoon, and if you don't need to use it because you think you're fast enough, or you just don't use it, you know, like it's, but for some guys and beginners or newcomers to that series, they could use for sure more practice. And I don't know if it's, I know we had some more at the beginning of this season because we had new tires, like a new brand, but hey, we'll see. Maybe we're going to have more practice in the future. And again, it's, yeah, I will take it. Maybe I'll just use it to do a couple things on my car, but it's more for people that comes in the series and they need track time, you know, to get acclimated with that car and then the track itself.
Oh, yeah. There's no substitute for the speed that you guys hit at CTMP. You're hitting close to 150, 160 miles an hour down that long straightaway on the back, right?
Oh yeah, we're all in ass. It's fast, and you know, like we're fighting hard and like side by side and drafting, and sometimes 3-4 cars like going in corner 8 and leaning on each other, and it's fun. I really like it.
How are you gonna solve the 96 this weekend? You guys sit down and figure a strategy out and stick with it, or do you sort of develop that strategy as the weekend unfolds?
Yeah, we do as the weekend unfold. I mean, because you have to make sure you show up with good speed, you know, and then you adjust with the speed you have and you try to find more speed, or sometimes you're like, okay, that package is going to be really good for the long run. Again, goes to the pit stop strategy as well. You know, you do 4 tires, you do 2 tires. When you do it, when you put the fuel, is it going to be on a green or is it going to be during a yellow? That's all those cards are, you know, it's you're going to shuffle all that and make sure you take the right decision, which is, I think that's a fun part of that game, you know? And yeah, I mean, the 96 is one thing, but man, believe me, there's a lot of people starving for winning there. There's a lot of great teams, great drivers. And that's why the show is so good, you know? Like, it's just, like you just saw it this weekend at the iCar, you know, like the kid Gannett there got his win there. He was very fast. I mean, we had nothing for him.
Yeah.
So, so that's what it is. I think it's great for this series to have different winners and have so much competition out here. And yeah, no, it's gonna be a fun weekend.
I'm hearing record car counts coming out to CTMP next weekend. Are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, I've heard that numbers. It's really hard to believe. What did you hear?
I heard 41.
I've heard that too.
Yeah, yeah. So if they do, say all 41 show up, how will they do that? How many? What's the maximum start number? 36 cars, or will they start them all?
I have no idea how many cars we can start there. Maybe 36, you're right. But I don't know. Again, I'm more than happy to have a lot of cars on track. Now, what I want is to give a show.
Yeah.
I want to be racing. I don't want to be on the yellows all the time. I want to be racing. And then more cars means more possibility of yellows. So, yeah, it's cool. Oh, it's going to be looking good. Like, you know, we're going to give this start and you're still going to have some people maybe in corner 10 there. But, hey, I got no problem with that again. But hopefully we can race because we're there to race and give a show and not always be on the yellows and, you know, having some stuff happening out around the track, you know. So it's so, yeah, we'll see how many cars we got there. Great drivers. Again, we have a lot of good drivers. Oh, I've heard that Fitz is going to be back.
Yeah, I heard
Patrick's going to be there, and Hapsovich as well. So that's big too, man.
Yeah,
those guys are good shoes, you know. So should be fun to. Yeah, you don't want to miss that race for sure.
No, it's going to be off the hook. That's right too. J.R. Fitzpatrick and Caden Hapsovich, past champion. They're both going to be in GSR equipment, so that is going to be very interesting as well. LP. Final question for you. When you get 41 cars out there, I haven't looked at the weather forecast, but let's say we get a little bit of rain. If there is rain, how with the tire change, did you get a new rain tire too? And have you guys even pulled them out?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have a new rain tire coming with McCrory. And then I didn't drive them yet, but I drove a lot of rain tires in the past. With different series, sports car series and then prototypes and then formula cars and all kinds of stuff. And we didn't have the greatest tires in our series in the past.
No. You know,
the general rain tire was not – the rain tire I'm talking about, the general was not great. And the Goodyear way back then was not great. It was like a – it was a slick tire it was grooved, you know, so
– Yeah, it was junk.
What we got – yeah, exactly. So – but what we got now is pretty interesting. From McCree, it seems to be pretty decent. I'm excited, but I didn't drive it yet, but the compound seems to be pretty soft. And the way that it's made, it's looking decent, and it's a rain tire itself. It's not like a slick grooved. It's a right. real rain tire.
It built as a rain tire, and that's critical.
Well, exactly. So no, I'm positive about that new rain tire. Yeah.
Well, I know you have been chomping at the bit. You've been right there knocking at the door. I think maybe this weekend, LP, it's time for you to kick the door open and stand in the center.
I'm telling you, that's what we're going for. So hopefully we can get that big trophy, and that would be amazing to have my sponsors giving me that trophy on the podium. That's my goal.
I will keep your seat shined up here on Race Time. We'll convene once again next week with the trophy. Sound good?
Sounds great.
LP Dumoulin, thanks so much for the time. We genuinely appreciate it.
See you all. Thanks for having me.
Keep your eye on that 47 WeatherTech Dodge. LP Dumoulin, the real deal, can get it done at CTMP. I don't care if there's 100 cars in the field. This guy can get it done. It's going to be super interesting. We're not going to go to a break. We are going to stay with you live, and we're going to bring in our next guest. And I might add, our next guest, Chase Pensoneau, ended up going to Jennerstown on the weekend, and he ended up winning the race, and he ended up getting a red jacket. You seen Kyle getting a green jacket earlier in the season? Well, how about this? Chase Pensoneau got a red jacket at Jennerstown, and he is our Stewart's Equipment hot seat interview because he's red hot right now. What's going on, Chase? How are you, kid?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Fantastic. Congratulations. We get you on talking about a race, and then, man, we got to get you right back on because you go win it.
Yeah, it's been pretty back-to-back, but happy to be back here talking about it. No place I'd rather, share my winning experience.
Incredible. Not only did you win the race, but you set fast time. You threw the gauntlet down when you showed up at Jennerstown.
Yeah, for sure. We were really good, unloaded pretty strong, just a little bit weak on the front end. We were struggling with a little bit of right front feel, so worked on it, got the car turning a little bit better, and were able to set fast time, and then kind of just carried into the race. So I kept our heads down all night, kept turning it, got a little bit free towards the halfway break, and then made an adjustment and drove right around them.
Man, you guys are all gelling as a team, and it really takes a team effort to go out there and do what you do and to be in victory lane, because you're running against the best there is when you're in those races. What's it feel like now? Look back to when you started just a couple of years ago now, and look at where you are today. Does it feel like, hey, man, we're arrived, we're here?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely feels a lot better. It's just a testament to how strong these fields are and how strong the cars are where we race. It's very difficult what we do, and it takes a lot of time to get your program to the place it needs to be to win races. Now we're a pretty well-oiled machine. We've started to see a lot more success, especially on the pro late model side, and it's taken us 3 years. So it's been a grind. We've kept our heads down, but it's good to see some of that paying dividends.
Chase, from a driver's perspective, is the crew chief going off of what you're telling him, or is the crew chief going off of what he's seeing on the racetrack and saying, okay, Chase, I'm going to do this because this is what I'm seeing? How is the information flow? Is it both ways, or is it more one way than it is the other?
It's a mix of a lot of things. For the most part, they'll put a lot of faith in me and what I decide, a lot of the things that I feel in the race car. But we also have a really good system for tire temperatures and pressures. and a lot of math stuff that we can use to kind of predict the way that the balance of the race car is going, if it's a little bit tighter, a little bit free. And then if I don't know, because sometimes I'm a little bit unsure, or it's a racetrack that I haven't seen very often, or I'm less comfortable with, then I'll let them take a little bit more of the reins. If they feel like the car's a little bit free or a little bit tight, it might take a little bit longer, but sometimes what they can see on the outside of the car is a little bit better than what I can get, especially if it's a place I'm uncomfortable with. So depends on where I'm at, the racetrack, the series, and all of that. But Jennerstown was a mixture of both, for sure.
Yeah, well, and as the experience level goes up behind the wheel, the input would be going up too, because now you know more of what you're feeling. And when the crew makes adjustments, Chase, are you feeling drastic differences or just slight little differences when they're making adjustments?
I think it depends on what type of adjustment we make. For example, in Jennerstown, you know, at the start when we unloaded, we went through two or three different rear packages. That's left rear spring and left rear shock. We're going through a bunch of different things and a bunch of different tries. Things like that are major differences, and those are the packages that you'll start on. You know, you'll go through a couple major changes at the start of the day, kind of pick one, and then you'll make minor adjustments from there to kind of fine tune it. But depends on the adjustment. A lot of the stuff at Jennerstown was pretty small. Felt like we rolled off the truck really good. So made a few right front adjustments, a couple rear adjustments, and then pretty much let it go for the race.
So the track didn't change over the year, right? Because you were there last year and you had success there. Did it change at all?
This is the first time I've ever been to Jennerstown. We unloaded for the first time practice the day before.
Look at that. I stand corrected. I thought you were there last year.
Yeah, this was our first. There's a lot of cars that went in the field. Like Evan was there last year. Francis was there last year, but we weren't.
Yeah, well, they know you were there this year. Where's the red jacket? Where do you got it hanging out?
I got it hanging over on the corner wall. You can't see it. I got different trophies behind me, but it's over on the corner wall. It's the only spot it would fit. Looks really good, but would look a lot better next to a green one. So hopefully one day I can get one of those, pull off something. It's taken, you know, it took Kyle a few years, so maybe it'll take me a few as well, but I'd like to have both of them by the end of my career.
Well, you've got some big races still to come this year. You're going to be batting the hatches down here next. ASA's back on the racetrack here. You've got to be looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure. Tri-County is a very difficult racetrack. It's very, you struggle for grip quite a bit. You're not really tight or free. You're just struggling for grip. It should be interesting. I think you'll see a little bit of different characteristics from the racetrack. It'll take a lot of discipline to win the race, and it's also going to be very car dependent. You're going to have to be really hooked up to get around that place. So it'll be unique. I think it'll be a different a little bit of a different racing style for the ASA Stars Tour. But I think that's what we're after, trying new things and really fine tuning to know what we need to be doing for the future.
Chase Pensino, driver of the 14, is our Stewart's Equipment Hot Seat interview tonight. Goes to victory lane at Jennerstown, CRA, which he leads the championship points. It's got to be coming down to it, right? How many more races do you got to go in CRA?
Yeah, we got three remaining. We have one race at Berlin, then we go to Owosso for the Owosso Nationals, and we ended off Winchester 400 weekend with a 100-lapper there. So it is getting close to the wire. Definitely still lots of room for error in there, and I could definitely still throw it away if I try hard enough, but we're going to do our best to keep strong and hold that lead to the end.
Well, it's got to be difficult too, Chase. Or you probably look forward to it now. I guess in the past you would have maybe regretted it, but today it's paying dividends, jumping back and forth from the CRA car into the ASA Stars Tour car. It's got to be a huge adjustment. How do you make that adjustment as a driver?
Yeah, it's definitely different, but I think the amount of experience I've had now this year running back and forth between the two, and the amount of experience I have just driving the Pro and the Super at this point, the amount of laps I've seen, it's a relatively quick adjustment. It's be very similar to, you know, a pro late model driver at a weekend show still has to drive the road car back and forth from home. So it's different for sure, and it does take adjusting, but after the first few laps, you find your rhythm again, and you can really get back in and get digging.
Do you look for the same feel in both cars?
You look for similar feel for sure. I think in a pro car, you can be a little bit more lenient on what you have off of the corner. In a super, you need to really make sure the setup is good for getting up off of the corner. In the pro car, it's more just about balance rolling. You got to have speed in the middle of the corner to make any speed. That's the only way to really go fast in a pro car. I think you look for a lot of the same characteristics and try to get as much of that roll speed as you can in the super, but you definitely have to prioritize drive up off the corner.
Do you have the same crew for both cars, both disciplines?
Yeah, it's the same team. Zach is the crew chief, and then Jim, Amanda, Kevin, Levy, Bob. It's the same group of guys that follows us around every week.
Yeah, and that's critical too, right? Having the same infrastructure around you each and every time you belt in. Your spotter, who is your spotter?
Spotter's still Zach. So Zach will be the crew chief all throughout practice and qualifying, and then he'll go up top for the race.
Ah, then he says, okay, I'm going up there. You guys take care of it down here.
Yeah, and we have another brain down in the pits, Jimmy. Jimmy has been crew chiefing his whole life, so he knows his way around a race car, and he makes all the adjustments at any stage break we might have.
You gotta love it, man. You've really been lighting it up. We need that first ASA Stars Tour win, but that is going to come. That's a tall mountain. But Chase, if there's anything I've learned about you over the past few years, you love those challenges.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be tough. I mean, Kyle's been really good this year with all the Donnie cars, and Carson Brown in that P1 car has just been absolutely lights out. But we're going to try our best and go chase that ASA Stars National victory.
Yeah, you're going to do it. I can guarantee it. Any thought into 2027? Yeah, well, imagine thought. There's lots of. Any plans that are being solidified looking down the road?
There's still a lot we're unsure about. I mean, we're definitely going to be still running some for late model races and some super late model races. But as to what we're racing and if we're racing a full series, all that is still up in the air. We're not really sure what we're doing yet, but as updates come out, you'll see them on the Facebook page at CPinsNo14.
Okay. Now, how about school? How much more schooling have we got to do?
I start school the 10th, start the day after Tri-County. So we just talked about it today. We just booked our flights for that morning so I can get over. It was a little bit too long of a drive. It's about 12 hours to get home from school, and we weren't going to make it on time. So had to book a flight to get in for my first day, and then we're going to lock down our second year.
Yeah. So you've got two more years of school, and then what?
I graduate in 2029, and I haven't had enough time to think that far. There's a lot of possibilities for the future, a lot of things that I could see myself doing, but not 100% sure exactly what route I want to take just yet.
Okay, and what are you studying for?
I'm currently taking a mechanical engineering degree. It's going to be a four-year degree, and then I'm undecided if I'm going to go for the fifth or not. If I do, it'll be adding aerospace in with that degree. I love how air flows around things, the difference in pressures and stuff. You can learn a lot about it. So I'm super interested in that and hoping to be able to study that a little bit more.
Another Ryan Newman kind of guy.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I got a lot to learn still for sure on both ends, the racing end and the school end, but hopefully I'll learn all I can. Going to spend every day doing it as much as I possibly can just to improve.
Yeah, well, you're a sponge. You will soak it all up. It's tough though, right? Trying to run two racing series and add school back into the mix. Do you ever have to lean on the teachers and say, hey, I'm going to be a little bit late here. I'm going to miss this day. Can you either give me what I need to know, or do they work with you?
They do some. Last year were really good for it. Some of the stuff, I don't really have much of a choice of what I can do with it. A lot of it is completely based off of the syllabus. If the class allows me to move something or not, I kind of have to go with that. If I ever miss a lab, most of the time that weight, whatever percentage it is, if the lab is worth 3%, that will get moved to my final grade. So a final worth 40% becomes 43%. They've done a really good job with me so far. I have a pretty good setup at the university with making sure I sent them all my documentation and proof that I did actually have to be away and wasn't just choosing to go take a weekend off. But they've been really accommodating so far. The University of Windsor's treated me really well.
Any of those University of Windsor kind of folk race fans and know the 14 of Chase Pensino?
Took a little bit while, but there's definitely some people that, as they got to know me and stuff, there's a lot of people that are interested in it and that follow me. A lot of my friends at university follow it. Obviously, fits right in with that clique. Engineering and racing are 2 and 2. So it's super exciting for them as well.
Well, it'll be even more exciting after they learn about this win. That's just tremendous stuff. Chase Pensino, you're always great with your time. You're always generous with that. And to score the red jacket, I don't think Kyle's got a red jacket.
No, he doesn't. He texted me this morning and he said the green jacket's nicer, but I'll just have to get both to prove him wrong. It's going to be a steep mountain to climb, but I want both before he has them so I can beat him up about it.
That's Kyle, isn't it? Always got to throw that last little one in there. Man, we got to get you back in an APC show back up here at some point. You know that.
I know. I'm going to try my best. I'm really looking to hopefully be able to get, you know, a great Canadian start in there, maybe in the 2027 season. It's all going to depend on what we decide to run full time, if we decide to run full time, and what else is racing that weekend. Lots of different things you can run, so got to make sure that's the best one.
And we got to definitely lock down a truck ride for you at CTMP when the trucks come back up here, because they are coming back to Canada in 2027. We need you in one of those trucks.
Some road course racing would definitely be fun. I'm super not experienced in that, so I don't know if that's a good rookie start for me, but maybe you never know. Never know what kind of experience I could get before that, if any. Again, lots of things up in the air, but we'll just have to see in 2027.
I can see all of it coming. Chase Pensino, good luck. You're back in. You're off next weekend?
Yes, I'm off this coming weekend, and then I'll fire off Wednesday at Tri-County.
Well, you celebrate the victory. You guys never get long to celebrate that victory. Nice to have a couple of days to do that anyway.
Yeah, for sure. We'll toss the red jacket around. Everyone will try it on, and then we'll get back going, rolling down the road to Tri-County.
I can hear the neighbors now. Hey, did you see the Pensino kid out cutting the grass? He's got that red jacket on. I wonder what that's all about.
Yeah, and I'll love it. Every minute of it. It might look stupid, but it doesn't matter, because anyone that knows how much it's like how important it is to all of us. So super happy, excited to wear it around and be proud about it.
Yeah, good for you, kiddo. Good for you. Go after it. We'll get you back on here. We'll talk about it. I can guarantee it.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
Chase Pensino, driver of the 14 131 Motorsports, and our Stewart's Equipment Hot Seat Interview of the Week right there. Good to see. And look at this. He's putting in, getting some wins this year, right? We got to see him in that ASA Stars Tour and nail down one of them. It's coming. For all these teams, right? When you get into that ASA Stars Tour, it's a tough, tough deal for all of them to get out there. And Tri-County, a bumpy racetrack, it's going to be off the hook. That'll be a good one. You can watch it on tracktv.com is the streaming service for the ASA Stars Tour, and you can pick it up there. I wonder if, it'll be done by now. I was thinking the Oxford 250, because I didn't see the number 83 at PEI, and having 6 wins in a row, you would think you would have seen Corey Hall at PEI over the weekend. But it was the Oxford 250, and that's where the 99 will be, and that's where the 83 will be. We'll have to find out how they made out, and we'll cover that off next week. But you know what? That's going to do it for us tonight on Racetime Radio. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Got to thank Susie Q right over there in the production room for doing up all the graphics and getting things all dialed in for us. We genuinely appreciate it. Thank all of you for tuning in, as you do each and every week on Racetime. Send me an email. joe@racetimeradio.com is my email address. You want to hear from somebody? You want to see somebody? Let me know. And don't forget, we are on the air all the way through what everybody else calls an off-season. Well, there is no off-season here on Racetime Radio. We take Christmas and New Year's. That's it. And we continue on each and every week after that, as long as everything stays together and, health keeps, health stays in our corner, then we try and be on the air each and every week. But that is going to do it for this week's edition. Thanks again, everybody. Have a good, safe week, And we will catch you next week right here on Racetime Radio. Be safe.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.